for today's Good Friday service. It's a bit of a tongue twister for Singaporeans because the title is called The Three Trees by our Pastor John. Pastor John, please.
Well, a good morning to all of you, and thank you for taking time to be with us here this morning. And first off, what is so good about Friday? What about what's so good about Good Friday? Other than it's a holiday, and many of us who are working, it's good. It's good for a break. But Good Friday, and many of you may know, some of you may not. And that's why you're here. Good Friday is a historical event celebrated worldwide over this past 2,000 years. Why? Because something happened on that day. Jesus died on the cross on a Friday. That's why it's called Good Friday. Now, for most of us, events that are important to us, for example, my grandfather, he died. Who cares? Who remembers? And honestly, I don't even remember his name. There was once I was caught in a custom, in the immigration, and he asked me, "What's your grandfather's name?" I said, "I really don't know." But for these Israelis, it was in Tel Aviv, I was stopped. And they asked me. But for the Israelis, they do know. They know their grandfather's name, great grandfather's name, all the way back to Abraham. But I said, "I don't know." Because we don't call them by name. I call my grandfather, grandfather. You call him by name, you get a whack on the back of the head. So, Good Friday is a historical event, like it or not. Something happened on that day, and that's why you're here to find out and understand more. Today's topic is the three trees. There are three trees, and if you look at the little graphic here, which I tried to illustrate, and many of you may be familiar with the creation story in the Garden of Eden when God created two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And because man sinned, these two trees were separated. Man now no longer has access to the tree of life on the other side. There's now a wide chasm that divides them. But the big question is how? How is mankind going to reach the tree of life and then have life? Here comes the third tree. And that tree is the cross, Calvary's tree, that would bridge this gap. And today we're going to look and allow God to tell us from scriptures how this all happened. All right? And this is where we begin. There are only three significant trees in the Bible. And the first two we find in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. And as we have said, they were separated. Man took from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then God denied them access to the tree of life. So, how do we bridge this gap. First off, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that are pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't worry, you may be hearing this for the first time. We will understand a little bit about what it all means. But first of all, when God created Adam and Eve, he placed them in the Garden of Eden together with these two trees, because it was God's original intention for all mankind to live forever and enjoy fellowship with him. Adam and Eve were created sinless, not perfect, but sinless. And to find out if they are perfect or not, they have to be tested. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 tells us, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. But Adam and Eve did not choose to eat from the tree of life. Instead, they chose to disobey God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they wanted to be God. They wanted to be like God. Genesis chapter 3 tells us. So the big question now is that, yes, we do know that the tree of life would mean eternal life. If you eat of it, you will live forever. But what then is the knowledge of good and evil? What is the meaning of this? What is the difference? I can think of an illustration to explain this. For example, if you think of an oncologist, how many of you know what's an oncologist? All right, not many, man. All right, an oncologist is a doctor who specializes in cancer. How many of you know what's cancer? All right, most of you are still not awake. Let's try that again. How many of you know what's cancer? All right, me too. I have a classmate. She was a specialist. She was an oncologist. But she died of cancer herself. An oncologist may know all about cancer, but he doesn't know what it feels like to have or to live with cancer, unless he himself contracted cancer. Does this make sense? All right. He only knows the theoretical knowledge of cancer. Example, the symptoms, the cause, and maybe even a cure or the treatment. And only when the oncologist himself has contracted cancer, then can we say that he now has the experiential knowledge of cancer. So on one hand, there's the theoretical knowledge. On the other hand, there is the experiential knowledge. When God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they have been warned that it is wrong. It is a sin to disobey God's command. And that is only theoretical knowledge. They know it's wrong. But when they eat from it, they sin. That is, they now have the experiential knowledge of sin. Let me quickly add. God knows what is sin. That God cannot sin because He is God. When Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, they sin against God. And God calls sin rebellion. Rebellion. That is, rebelling against the control of God in their lives. And in wanting to be God, they died. Just as God has said. Now, some of us may look at each other and say, you know, I'm not the rebellious son, I'm pretty good. Don't kid yourself. Go outside, look at the kids. They are rebelling against their parents every day, because they don't want to do what their parents are telling them. That's rebellion. And when they rebel against God, they die. Remember, Adam and Eve did not immediately drop dead and die physically. The Bible tells us they died spiritually, spiritually. And as punishment for their sins, they are all condemned to an eternity in hell, away from the presence of God. Because this is exactly what God said in Genesis again, chapter 3, verse 22. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Meaning, God had to evict them from the Garden of Eden, because if they should eat from the tree of life, and they have already sinned, meaning they're going to live in sin forever. Physically, they will not die. And since then, since the time of Adam, the human race has become so, so wicked. And God had to destroy the whole human race. You would remember, with the great flood during the time of Noah. And if today you and I were honest with ourselves, our world today is no different. And if we are brutally honest, we have to say that we are even more wicked. And this world that we live in is chaotic because of our rebellion than the time of Noah. You're free to disagree with me. And if you don't agree with what I've just said, all you have to do is just take a look around you, where everyone, including you, you want to be God. You want to be God. From the Hitlers to the Osama bin Ladens to the Elons and the Gates on Wall Street and the Obamas and the Bidens in the White House, down to the ordinary men in the streets. All of them want to be God. And if you still don't agree, stand in front of the mirror. Because many times you're going to hear yourself saying, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life the way I want it. That's rebellion against God. And God has already prophesied in the Bible that He's going to wipe out our world again today. The world that we see today is so wicked, and it will be destroyed completely very soon. Why? Because Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. You and I, we have all sinned. And we've fallen short of the standard that God has set. That's what it says here. And what is this standard? Not our Singapore CCA and all the rest. That standard is Jesus. Jesus. You and I will be compared against Jesus. And now that we have fallen short of that standard, what is the consequence of sin? Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The price of sin is hell, but the gift of God is eternal life. Adam and Eve ate of the first tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their disobedience brought death themselves and to the whole of mankind. And Adam and Eve, they were denied access to the tree of life, which gives eternal life. But the good news is God still wants to give us eternal life to all men. And God had to come up with a plan to save mankind. And what is this plan? How do we know that God still wants to give us eternal life? And we read the passage in Revelation chapter 22 that speaks about the future after this world is completely destroyed. There's going to come a new earth. And in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, God promised to bring us back to the tree of life again. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." Okay, now that I know that God wants to give me eternal life, but there is this huge chasm, there is this huge gap that separates me from the tree of life. And how can I bridge this gap? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God showed, God demonstrated his love toward all of us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't ask us to clean ourselves up before coming to him. We can't do that on our best days. That God grabbed us from the sewage pool that you and I were in. And he gave us life. So after Noah, God's plan to redeem the whole human race started when he chose one man, Abraham. And from the descendants of Abraham will come our Savior, Jesus Christ. who was a Jew from the line of David. So, as you have said at the beginning, Good Friday is a historical event observed worldwide. And it's been like that for the past 2,000 years. Because outside of Jerusalem, on that day, 2,000 years ago, outside of Jerusalem, on a hill called Calvary, and it was there that Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world. That cross is also called a tree. A tree. Because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The word cross there in the Greek means timber. Timber as what we use for burning. And it can also mean a stick, a tree, or just simply wood. And Paul was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, where Moses told them, if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he's put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not stand all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. For he who is hanged is cursed of God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. So it was on Calvary's tree that Jesus took the punishment on our behalf. In fact, it was you and I who should be on that cross. It is you and I who should be punished, not Jesus. It is you and I who should be cursed for our sins. But Jesus, the Bible tells us, bore our sins when he was on the cross. He went to the cross and stayed on the cross because he loved you and became your substitute. And he died in your place on the cross. This, people, is the third tree, the tree of Calvary that is going to bridge the gap from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so that we can gain access to the tree of life. When we go to the very end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we will again see the tree of life appearing in the new Jerusalem and the new earth. Right there in the middle of the Garden of Eden, just like Garden of Eden, there's the tree of life. But the Bible opens in the book of Genesis with a tree of knowledge that brought death when man disobeyed. And the Bible closes with the tree of life to restore life to all mankind when we believe in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. And in between these two trees is a tree of Calvary, the cross. And it is only this tree that enables people to gain access to eternal life and live forever. This is the good news of the Bible. And Jesus wants to give you forgiveness and then life today, today. But we have all sinned. And the price of sin is death. You can't wash it off with soap or cash. And you can't fix your sin nature with a transplant. Someone has got to pay for your sin. And that was what Jesus did for me and for you. And he did that some 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary. Jesus died on a cross. He was buried. And then he rose again on the third day, which today we call it Easter, Easter Sunday. And that is not all. The Bible tells us he's coming back again very soon. And when he comes back, the world will end. And if you're still living in your sin, you will spend eternity in hell. Many of you don't like that. But this is what the Bible says. And I will be lying to you if I say something differently. I wish that I could just wave my hand and all of you would enter heaven, and except some of you whom I don't like. But Jesus is offering all of us forgiveness because he loved us. And we can spend eternity in heaven to be with him. And today you can have that. And to be a child of God. But first, you need to receive the forgiveness for your sins before you can have eternal life. And how do you do that? Three simple things. How do I become a child of God? A, B, and C. A, you need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to admit that you're a sinner. Because if you're not a sinner, you don't need forgiveness. Am I correct? If you didn't commit any offense or crime, you don't need to be forgiven. But God says, you are a sinner. Would you agree with God? If you're honest enough, yes. All of you look like nice people. But nice people do not go to heaven. Only people who are forgiven go to heaven. Second thing, B, believe. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. On Calvary's tree, he died for you. Even if you are the only person on planet Earth, he will still die for you. That's how much he loves you. So you need to admit and you need to believe. And thirdly, on your own, you need to call out to Jesus and invite him into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. To be your Lord, to be your master, to be your boss. And you don't say no to your boss. You don't rebel against your boss, do you? How many of you have rebelled against your boss and still kept your job? Unless you're the boss yourself. You have big problems, right? Admit, believe, and then finally, invite him. Call him into your life. He doesn't budge into your life unwelcome. You must do it willingly. Willingly. And you're going to have the most exciting and meaningful life on planet Earth. Right now, before your death. But I need to say this, that the Christian life, walking with Jesus, following Jesus, is not easy. It means surrendering yourself to the control of God. To the control of God. Are you willing? But if you do that, you're going to have the most meaningful and purposeful life right now, on planet Earth. The Bible calls it the abundant life. Meaning, here and now, you can have it. You may be the poorest guy and the most uneducated guy, but you're going to have the most meaningful, exciting, and purposeful life right here and now. And when you die, once you walk through that door, mark death, which we will all do one day. Maybe for me, sooner than you think. We're going to enter right into heaven, into the presence of Jesus, and live with Jesus forevermore. That's eternity. I hope that you will choose Jesus today. Some of you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus today. Can I urge you? Can I plead with you that this is what the Bible says is true? That there's life after death. And if you choose Jesus, you will have eternal life. Now, I'd be happy to talk to you or explain to you or answer some of your questions that you may have. And I hope that you will have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Some of you have been in church for a long time. You have eternal life today because you have believed in Jesus. My question is, do you have the abundant life? Then it comes from obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Oh, today are you living a miserable life and you're going to go to heaven, but you're so miserable. Why? Because you're not walking. You're not following Jesus. You're still having the control of your own life. And you'll be miserable for the rest of your life until you die. Yes, I'll see you in heaven. But you're going to have a wasted life on earth. The next 20, 30, 40 years on earth, they'll be wasted. Wasted. How sad, how tragic. Because you choose to live life on your own. Even though you call Jesus Lord. Can I urge you, if that's a picture of your life, and I urge you to go back to Jesus, tell him you're sorry. Pick up your Bible, start to read and obey. Read and obey. Don't just read. Many of us know the Bible very well. We can quote it upside down too. But we just don't do it. That's the reason why our lives, they are miserable. And it doesn't have to be this way. I only urge you to pick up your Bible and go back to walking with Jesus. I'll be up here for a little while, and if any of you would have questions or you want to talk to me, I'll be happy to pray with you too. God bless.